The Senate will please come to order. And the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates? Beyer? Beyer? Boquist? Boquist? Burdick? Burdick? Devlin? Devlin? Dingfelder? Dingfelder? Edwards? Edwards? Farioli? Farioli? George? George? Gerard? Gerard? Haas? Haas? Johnson? Johnson? Cruz? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Morse? Nelson? Nelson? Olson? Olson? Brzezinski? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Rosenbaum? Shields? Shields? Starr? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Telfer? Thompson? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Whitsitt? Winters? Winters? President Courtney?
Would the people from the Nevada legislature move to, come on, get them on the, A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Lori Montes Anderson will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Today's invocation, Senator Jason Atkinson.
On this historic President's Day, I'm going to take a portion of a prayer that was given by George Washington at his home in Mount Vernon, and it is entitled, A Prayer for Guidance. Increase my faith in the sweet promises of the gospel. Give me repentance from dead works. Pardon my wanderings and direct my thoughts unto thyself, the God of my salvation. Teach me how to live in thy fear, labor in thy service, and ever to run in the ways of thy commandments. Make me always watchful over my heart, that neither the terrors of conscience, the loathing of holy duties, the love of sin, nor the unwillingness to depart this life may cast me into a spiritual slumber, but daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may present thy appointed time and attain the resurrection of the just into eternal life. Bless my family, friends, and kindred. The prayer of George Washington.
I want to thank Senator Jason Atkinson for his invocation. He is joined by his son, Perry, up here. So welcome, Perry. Welcome to the Oregon State Senate. It's an honor to have you here, Perry, with your dad. And I know he's very proud of you. And Senator Atkinson's wife, as well as the mother of Perry, Stephanie's at Senator Atkinson's desk. So, Stephanie, thank you very much. Appreciate it. It's a real honor and privilege to have you here. We have all the Atkinsons here, and so thank you. And thank you for your invocation here on President's Day. Also, thank you, Senator Lori Montes Anderson, for your leading us into the invocation. We're under courtesies. I'm going to start out by saying we have on the floor today some special guests. Every time we have a guest on the floor, they're special. Today, they're special in particular because these are members of the Nevada legislature who, it's my understanding, have come here today to study the Oregon annual session and to talk with some of us throughout the day about an annual session, because there are four states left now, and I was supposed to have the information. I don't, so I'm going to guess we were one of five. Now that Oregon has transitioned into an annual session, there are four states left. Nevada is one of them. Texas is one of them. Montana is one of them. And now I'm going to get scary. I don't know whether it's a Dakota or Wyoming, and I wish I had that. I'd look very smart. But I don't know the fourth one, but that's okay. And these individuals are the Assemblyman Tick Sagerblum, sitting at Senator Frank Morris' desk. And so welcome, Assemblyman Tick Sagerblum. They have to make sure I don't butcher these names, so if I did, I apologize profusely to you. Senator Mo Dennis, sitting at Mark Hask's desk, I believe. He's there. Assemblyman Jason Frierson, who is sitting at Senator Floyd Bozanski's desk. I think this is right. And the Assemblyman Lynn Stewart sitting at Bruce Starr's desk. You'll note that they apparently, they have their state senate and their assembly. They do not call it a House of Representatives, apparently. And so welcome to each and every one of you. It's a high honor and privilege that you would come to our state to ask us about the annual session. We're very early. This is our first one. So, you know, maybe it's good you are here. You'll learn more that way than if we've been doing it. Because if you think you're going to learn something, we're learning it right now as I'm talking to you. So I'm really excited you're here. I've always wanted to go to another legislature and go on the floor and see what they do with me, but I have a feeling they wouldn't even ask me on the floor. So to be sure, we welcome you to Oregon, my Oregon. I'm very, very pleased you're here, and I think you'll find us friendly people. I know you're meeting with a lot of us throughout the day. Anything we can do to help you understand the annual session or how we got there or help you understand this state and our politics, let us know. We'll full service 24/7. And I've only been to Nevada once, and that's the plane landed in the big airport and took off. So that's all I know about Nevada. But one day maybe I'll go back. So thank you. High honor and privilege you're here. All right, here we go. Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a job shadow today. Her name is Angie Morris, and she's sitting at my desk here. Angie is part of the Emerge Oregon Leadership Program for future political leaders, specifically women. And she is also, some of you all will recognize her because she's the president and CEO of Travel Salem, which is the tourism bureau for the Mid-Willamette Valley. And we've had an interesting morning and expect to have an interesting day. So if you could extend courtesies, I would appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Angie. I've met you earlier. I hope you have a successful job share. Senator Burdick is an outstanding legislator. I'm sure you'll learn a lot, and she'll learn a lot from you. So have a good day. I'd like to extend the official courtesy of the Senate to you. Recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please extend courtesies of the Senate to my daughter, Mira Hayward. Mira is a junior at Catlin Gable School, has already declared herself as a political junkie by interning for Representative Nolan's city council campaign and becoming part of the Organizing for America Fellowship. She did phone banking for now Congresswoman Bonamici and is shadowing me for the day. She also participates in mock trial and was part of the state championship team last year. Thank you, Mr. President.
The first name again, I want to make sure.
Mira, M-I-R-A.
Mira, thank you for being here. I think you were here during the swearing-in ceremony, too, so it's great to have you back a second time. Come back as often as you like. Thank you. Yeah, you make. I know your mother, she's just very happy today, and I can tell it. For one reason, you're here. So stay as long as you like, and we need you to come back every day till we get through this. So thank you very much. Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like you to extend courtesies to two wonderful women who are job shadowing me. They're also in the program Emerge Oregon. Lori Trieger is actually sitting at your desk. She is executive director of a nonprofit organization, has two children, two grandchildren. And then Twee Tron, who is a mom of three children, lives actually in Senator Monroe's district. She is an eye doctor, business owner, a major in the International Guard. She's active in the Lions and Vietnamese community. Please welcome them. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura and Tweed, thank you for being here. And hope you enjoy being on the floor. And you could not be job shadowing anyone quite like Lori Montes Anderson. She's my nurse, so she looks after me in ways that no one else can and will. So you're going to have a complete, total experience, both politically, medically, the whole world. So I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, following along the lines of the previous courtesies, I would like to ask the Senate to extend courtesies to an entire group of women who are part of the Emerge Oregon class of 2012. They're sitting in the upper gallery, and Emerge is part of a national movement to address the underrepresentation of women in elected office at every level. They provide training for women who are interested in running for political office. And our chapter here in Oregon was founded in 2008 and has already graduated 54 alumni, 19 of whom have been appointed or elected to office or a board or commission. That includes two women currently serving in the Oregon House, Representative Val Hoyle and Alyssa Kenny Geyer. The class of 2012 is the fourth class, and there are 24 women from all over the state, including Coos Bay, Lane County, Polk County, Sandy, and throughout the Tri-County area. So I think particularly this year, as we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage in Oregon, it is great to have the Emerge class of 2012 here, and I ask you to join me in welcoming them to the Capitol.
Thank you to all the Emerge class that are here today. We knew you were in the building, and so I appreciate you being in our gallery and stay throughout the day. Also, come back over and over again. This is your state capitol. It's an honor and privilege to have you here on President's Day, a major holiday. And I think you've got us outnumbered clearly right now. And so I hope you'll have a good time. And thank you, Senator Rosenbaum, for making sure that we were aware that they were in our gallery. Thank you. Recognize Senator Ted Farioli, please.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, courtesies of the Senator requested for my guest at my desk, Mackenzie Banks, who is a student at Black Butte Elementary School. The interesting thing about Black Butte Elementary School is that there's only two classes. The first is K-3, and that's one class. The second class is 4-8. Mackenzie loves language arts. She plays volleyball, and she, like others here, has a keen interest in politics and public service, and so I'd like courtesies from the Senate to be conveyed to Mackenzie Banks, the woman at my desk.
Thank you, Mackenzie. Glad you're here. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you, and hope you'll stay throughout the day and come back again and again. This is your state capitol. Honor to have you here, Mackenzie. Thank you. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like courtesies of the Senate extended to Jehoon Han. He's a senior at Clackamas High School. He has aspirations to become a communications major and has applied to schools of Syracuse, George Washington, Boston, and Wake Forest. He's very interested in politics and has been chairman of the Clackamas High School Young Republicans for over 2 years. Mr. President, I know your affinity for Boston. Maybe you can put in a word for him at that school. Anyway, I would like courtesies extended.
Thank you, Jehoon. We're pleased you could be here and hope you have a great day. And I'm sure that the graciousness of Senator Cruz will help you be appreciated deeply. He's a very warm and gracious person. I don't know which Boston school he's talking about. I have very strong feelings about Boston College versus Boston University, and I'm not going to tell you them from the podium because I could get myself in serious trouble. I do not love both schools. Thank you very much for being here. Recognize Senator Joanne Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like courtesies of the Senate extended to my constituent and my friend, Dr. Carla McElvey. Dr. McElvey is the president of the Oregon Medical Association. But more important for me, she has been taking care of Coos Bay children as one of the most popular pediatricians in our area for the last 15 years. And she is here to shadow me today with Emerge Oregon. She is interested in the process, as I'm sure all of those who are here today, and I look forward to having her with me all day.
Thank you, Dr. McKelvey. We're pleased you could be here today, job sharing Senator Joanne Verger. And I think that Joanne, of course, brings extraordinary wisdom to this process as well. So not only a veteran, a lot of politicians, you know, former mayor of Great Coos Bay, she's here as a state senator as well. So it's a great, she comes from a great family, great tradition. So you're going to really get your money's worth today in job sharing, Senator Joanne Verger. Thank you. Recognize Senator Chuck Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please extend courtesies to my guest today, Kirsten Archibald. Kirsten's a junior at Clackamas High School, and she's the incoming chair of the Young Republicans at Clackamas High School. She likes politics, history, she plays a piano, she loves music, and in sports she does soccer and track. Please extend courtesies, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirsten. Glad you could be here today. I guess the Clackamas is truly represented very well today, and I hope maybe you'll bring the whole Sky High School down here one day. I think they'd have a good time and be a privilege to have them. So the courtesy is extended to you. You got a great state senator who you're sitting beside, and you'll have a very good day, I'm sure. Thank you. Recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Request courtesies be extended to my guest today, who is John Banks, age 11, who's here with his sister, Mackenzie, which you've already been introduced to, and his dad, David. They are from Sisters, Oregon. John is a fifth grader at Black Butte Elementary School, and they're spending a special day with Senator Telfer. John loves that he gets to go skiing every Friday. Wow. And loves spelling. Appreciate the courtesies.
Yes, John, thanks for being here. I don't ski. So I'm fascinated about how you do that every week. Obviously, I think that takes great talent. I'm glad you were Senator Chris Telfer. Stay as long as you like. Are you happy? Good. It's a good day. It's a President's Day, so thank you for being here. We'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. Thank you. Recognize Senator Betsy Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would respectfully ask that you extend courtesies to my Emerge Oregon Leadership Program guest today, Wanda Davis. Wanda is from Dallas, Oregon, and works in the Office of Private Health Partnership. She's here as part of the leadership class. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wanda. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And I think we've recognized the class that's here, and it's good that you're on the floor. It's a special feeling to be on the floor. So I'm pleased you'll be here and sitting beside Senator Betsy Johnson. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you as well. Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Please, courtesies of the Senate to my intern for the day, Miles Everett Monroe, is Billy Monroe's grandson, and he is in his fifth year of studying Mandarin in the Woodstock Elementary program, the only Mandarin immersion program in the greater Portland area. Please extend courtesies to our grandson.
Well, yes, Miles, we're glad you're here. Grandsons are special, granddaughters are special, so I'm happy you're here. We want you to have a good day. I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. Stay as long as you like. Now I recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum for a second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to ask us to extend special courtesies to a group that's in the rear gallery. It's Cub Scout Troop 320 from Fort Vancouver, Washington. They're visiting the Capitol today to learn more about the legislature and democracy in action, and they've just completed a tour of our beautiful Capitol. They'll earn their Capitol segment and citizen pin for their visit today. Included in this group is Cub Scout Bo North. Bo's big sister is Molly Woon, who is known to many of you who works as our communications person in the Senate Majority Office. And with Bo are his parents, Garth North and Tracy Atkinson, and his grandmother, Charlotte Sutterling. And I also want to recognize their activities coordinator, Melly Brawley, who arranged this visit from Troop 320 to the Capitol today. So please join me in welcoming Bo and all the Cub Scouts to our state capitol. Thank you, Mr. President.
From Washington. It's always nice to have individuals come from the out of state. We have those, of course, distinguished guests that are here from Nevada and now the state of Washington. So that's a privilege and honor, too, on President's Day that you would come to Oregon. And, of course, Washington is part of the Northwest. I love the Northwest. I'm very proud of the Northwest. There is an issue between the University of Washington and University of Oregon. You should know that, but we won't get into that here. But we're very pleased you're here. We hope you have a great day. It's an honor and privilege to have you here. Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum. I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Senate to you. Are there any further courtesies at this time? And Senator Bruce Starr came forward to tell me that North Dakota is the other state that also meets every other year. So there's four left, and I think it was North Dakota, and I thought it was one of the North Dakotas. So thank you, Senator Starr. Remonstrances? Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I would be remiss if I didn't stand with the presence of our colleagues from Nevada and talk about annual sessions. And no, I'm not going to bore you with that, but just so you know, I was one of the few no votes against annual sessions. So if our colleagues from Nevada want a lot of reasons not to do annual sessions, come see me. However, I do want to take a minute to thank the state of Nevada And I think it's important because as a timber district, timber is a big thing to us rural legislators. We do a lot of work with environmental departments, we do a lot of work with agricultural departments, and we do a lot of work with forestry departments. And I would like to point out that I do work with the Nevada Department of Forestry, and I find them to be completely landowner friendly. I find the Nevada Department of Forestry to be service oriented and helping the community. I find the Nevada Department of Forestry to be pro-natural resources and pro-development. The Nevada Department of Forestry is also economical to work with, and it is everything our own department is not. So if you go to annual sessions, make sure you don't screw up your Department of Forestry like we've screwed ours up. Thank you.
Well, I told you, my friends from Nevada, Oregon has a special way of welcoming people. Are there any further remonstrances at this time? By the way, I'd like to welcome the Cavaliers from Clackamas High School. The Cavaliers, that's a signal to some of my fellow senators. No further remonstrances. Message from the House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the co-speakers informing me the House has passed House Bill 4021, 4057, 4072, 4089, 4141, 4158, and Senate Bill 1535.
Reports from committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 28 was distributed to members February 17th, and number 29 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal and State's report. It is so ordered. Propositions and motions. Actions, executive appointments, which that require the Senate confirmation. Introduction of first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 211, adjourning sine die, 2012 regular session, 76th Legislative Assembly. Senate Resolution 201, recognizing, honoring, celebrating winners of and distinguished finalists for 2012 Presidential Spirit of Community Awards.
These will be transmitted to the President's desk referral. Second reading of Senate measures. And the third reading of Senate measures. We're now on to the first reading of House measures.
House Bill 4021, relating to humane special agents, declare emergency. House Bill 4057, relating to higher education employees, declare emergency. House Bill 4072, relating to seasonal fire personnel, declare emergency. House Bill 4089, relating to annexation of non-continuous territory, declare emergency. House Bill 4141, relating to workforce development legislation advisory committee, declare emergency. House Bill 4158, relating to wolves, declare emergency.
These will be transmitted to the President's desk for referral. The second reading of House measures.
House Bill 4046, relating to exemption from assessment on gross amount of premiums and prescribing effective date.
And these will be passed to the calendar. We're now on to the third reading of House measures. Will the clerk please read the bill?
House Joint Memorial 201, urging Congress to pass Chiropractic Care Available to All Veterans Act.
Recognize Senator Alan Olson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my honor to carry House Joint Memorial 201 to the floor. It passed through the Senate Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs on a unanimous vote and passed the House floor on a unanimous vote. Colleagues, what House HJM Memorial 201 does, it urges Congress to adopt chiropractic care for all veterans, to encourage the use of chiropractic care in the treatment of musculoskeletal injuries. I'm a vet. There's some other folks in here that are also vets. We remember what it was like to have to pack that stuff up and down hills. And the stuff I mean is the tools of your trade, the weapons that you carry. Everyone knows there is one very notable officer in our ranks, and he never had to carry anything because we grunts always had to carry it for him. But to be honest with you folks, in my day, back in 69-71, we carried a lot of heavy equipment, but today in the military, they have body armor, they have electronic equipment, they have GPS equipment, they have radios all attached to them, which we didn't. It's extremely heavy, and it's very difficult on your body when you're running and you're in combat or if you're under fire. And sometimes you hurt yourself, and it's your back that usually pays the price. And for those of you that aren't vets, if you're out working in the yard gardening and weeding and stuff like that, you come up and you go, oh boy, does that hurt. So you can understand the pain that they deal with. And this is a good bill because it's a tool, as we always say in the toolbox, of medical care for our veterans. And anything we can do to make their life better is worth a great vote, and I urge an aye vote on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator Olson, do you wish to close? The question now arises upon a third reading, the final passage of the HJM 201. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Haas? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Przanski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? President Courtney?
Yes.
Excused, Bates, Johnson, 28 aye votes.
HJM 201, have received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk calls the roll. Excuse me, clerk will please read the bill.
House Joint Memorial 202, urging President Congress to support full funding United States Coast Guard operational readiness and recapitalization requirements.
Recognize Senator Alan Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Once again, it's an honor to bring House Joint Memorial 202 to the floor. It came through the Senate Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs on a unanimous vote. If you're a sea captain, the three words you never want to say is Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. But if you have to, it's the Coast Guard you rely on to be your 911, if you will. They come to your rescue. The Coast Guard is one of five armed forces of the United States and the only military organization within the Department of Homeland Security. We task these ladies and gentlemen with a tremendous responsibility: to prevent insurgencies on our coast, to prevent smuggling, to safeguard the waters if you need them in an emergency. HJM 202 urges the President of the United States and Congress to support full funding of the United States Coast Guard operational readiness and recapitalization requirements. Colleagues, this is an organization that we rely on daily, day in and day out. It saves lives. We should have a unanimous vote on this bill. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Discussion. Senator Olson, do you wish to close? The question now rises upon a third reading and final passage. HJM 202. Those in opinion, bills passed, say aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder. Edwards. Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, President Courtney. Excused, Star, 29 aye votes.
The HJM 202, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 4008, relating to medical imaging and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Chip Shields.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's see. Colleagues, House Bill 4008 changes the Board of Radiologic Technology to the Oregon Board of Medical Imaging and make some additional changes to the Board of Medical Imaging, and I urge your aye vote.
Discussion. Senator Shields, you wish to close? The question I rise upon the third reading and final passage of Senate House Bill 4008. Those in opinion, bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson? Bates? Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morris, Nelson, Olson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Starr, 29 aye votes.
House Bill 4 8, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 4009, relating to impaired health professional program, declaring emergency.
I got an aye, Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 4009A does something very simple. A couple sessions ago, we created a third-party entity to monitor impaired health profession programs. There were many of us who questioned the wisdom of that. As it turns out, it doesn't work worth a damn. So this bill goes back to the old system. I urge an aye vote.
Discussion on the measure. Senator Cruz, do you wish to close? Question I rise upon a third reading, the final passage of House Bill 4009. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder. Edwards. Firioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morris, Nelson, Olson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
The House Bill 4009, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 4024, relating to Central Background Registry.
Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. House Bill 4024 removes the sunset. Back in 2009, we tried a little experiment to allow Metro to contract through the Child Care Division of the Employment Department for background checks. As it turns out, it has not only worked very well, it has worked very well and has cost less than we assumed it would. This bill simply removes the sunset.
Discussion of the measure. Senator Cruz, do you wish to close? Question I rise upon a third reading and final passage of House Bill 4024. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson,
you're right.
Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
The House Bill 4024, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 4034, relating to prompt progress payments and public improvement contracts, and declare emergency.
Recognize Senator Chip Shields.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 4034 makes some modest yet important improvements in the area of prompt payment in public contracting. We have more work to do on this topic, on prompt payment, particularly around the areas of retention. But I urge your aye vote, colleagues, because I say to you this, it's just wrong for small business to be forced to be the bank for big business. This bill will help small business, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion on the measure. Senator Shields, you wish to close? Question I rise upon a third reading and final passage of House Bill 4034. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist, Burdick, Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates? Beyer? President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
House Bill 40-034, I have received the constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 4039, relating tax deferral programs and prescribing effective date.
Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 4039 makes changes in the Senior Property Tax Deferral Program, which we revised last session to avoid having to close the program down. As you'll recall, last session, the program had run out of money, and we had to make very quick changes in the program to keep it from becoming insolvent. This is a program that has been very valuable for Oregon seniors and disabled people. The way the program works is this. If someone is 62 years of age or older or disabled and qualifies on the basis of income, they've been able to get into the program since 1963 when it was formed, and the state pays their property taxes until the property turns over or the person on the program dies. And at that point, the program is repaid the amount of the back taxes with interest. Well, as we all know, in the last few years, we have had a perfect economic storm in many areas, including areas that affected this program. Specifically, housing values declined drastically for the first time in anyone's memory, which limited the ability of houses to be sold and turn over. At the same time, demand for the program, because of the tanking economy, increased drastically. The program size just about doubled. So what happened is we had to get in there last session, as you all recall, and make very quick changes to narrow the program down to the most needy, the most vulnerable. And in the process, we found a population of people who had reverse mortgages. And one of the things we did with the changes last session is we excluded people with reverse mortgages from being from participating in the program. And of course, the reason is very obvious. If you have a reverse mortgage on your home, then that mortgage is a first lien if the property is sold after the owner dies. So with declining home values combined with reverse mortgages, the prospect is very real that the program would not be able to be repaid. And the program depends for its economic survival on being repaid. It's basically a revolving fund that has benefited many, many seniors and disabled people over the years. So what happened is there are about over 1,600 people who were caught in this situation of having a reverse mortgage and suddenly being told last fall that they no longer qualified for the program 2 or 3 months before their property taxes were due. And so what House Bill 4039 does is we analyzed the fiscal shape of this program more closely, and we determined that we would be able to provide the people who were excluded solely for the reasons of a reverse mortgage. We would be able to include them in the program for an additional 2 years, which would allow them to get their financial affairs in order, would allow them to make other arrangements if necessary, would basically give them a glide path to get out of the program in a less sudden way. And this bill takes effect retroactively. So people who did somehow scrounge, and we've heard stories about people borrowing from family, people, you know, making very sudden arrangements to pay at least a third of their taxes. For people who did pay their taxes when they were due this last fall, and again, another payment was due in February, for those, they will get refunds. And then next fall's taxes will also be paid. And so with that kind of glide path, we won't have the sudden, abrupt disruption for people who are the very least likely able to withstand this kind of an economic shock. The program, House Bill 4039 also makes other technical changes in the program, but the main thing is providing this glide path. When this bill was passed in the House floor unanimously, the carrier described it as a lifeboat. And the carrier said, we wish this lifeboat could be bigger, because there were other people who were excluded from the program who also have compelling stories. So colleagues, this is not as big a lifeboat as we would like to see, but it is a lifeboat, and it's a very, very important one for a very vulnerable portion of our population, of our senior and disabled population. And it will do a lot of good to help them adjust to the changes that we made in the program. So I urge an aye vote.
Can I Senator Frank Morris, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I am rising in support of this bill, and I compliment the chair of the Senate Revenue Committee and the co-chairs in the House Revenue Committee for doing this heavy lifting. But there's another part of this story that needs to be told. You will recall that in previous budget periods, we have robbed monies out of this fund to put into other general purposes to support government services. What we had was a program that, given the economy, had a troubled future, but it was manageable. It was manageable, and it would not have required the drastic measures that we took to save this program. But I rise in support of the bill, but I also rise to make sure that we understand the consequences of not having fiscal stability in this building, and that's called an emergency reserve fund. We operate bare, and we cause problems such as this, and then we have to come back and fix it. There are solutions, Mr. President and colleagues, but we choose to continue to punt and kick the can down the road to have a root solution to this cause of problems. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Chris Telford, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. As a member of the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee, I can tell you my yes vote in committee on this bill was a very difficult vote, in that some people are not continuing in the program. And again, the lifeboat's not big enough, but some of these people that are not given the glide path, that were caught off guard with having to pay taxes with only a couple months' notice, some of these people have a huge hardship in trying to finance the taxes that they need to pay on these houses. And so what I'm asking you to do as legislators is to contact the social services in your communities and find out and see if you can coordinate some efforts to find out how the community can come together and support some of these individuals that are not able to pay their property taxes. Now, we've contacted the social service organizations in my community and found that maybe they can pick up some of the assistance for a utility bill, and that would free up some money to pay property taxes. So I guess my plea to you all is, number one, vote yes on this bill. We need it for the financial predicament we're in. But most of all, contact your social service organizations in your communities and find out other ways that we can help these senior citizens from getting kicked out of their homes because they can't pay their property taxes. Thank you.
Further discussion on this measure? Senator Burdick, do you wish to close? Question now arises upon a third reading and the final passage of House Bill 4039. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick? Oh. Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder?
Aye.
Edwards?
Aye.
Ferrioli?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Gerard?
Aye.
Haas?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Cruz?
Aye.
Monis Anderson?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Przanski?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Whitsitt,
Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer,
Boquist?
Aye.
President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
The House Bill 4039, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 4117, relating to funeral products and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 4117 comes to you with the unanimous support of your General Government Consumer and Small Business Protection Committee and with the unanimous support of the House of Representatives. This is a result of a collaborative interim work group to improve pre-need practices. I get all the cemetery bills. Now, many people like to pay their cemetery expenses ahead of time so those expenses don't fall upon their loved ones. That's called pre-need. What this bill does is it allows the Department of Consumer and Business Services to regulate those who administer pre-need contracts in addition to those who sell or offer the contracts. It gives greater discretion to the department in setting fees. It caps the Consumer Protection Trust Fund at $2 million, clarifies the name of a successor if the person managing the trust fund dies or retires, clarifies which expenses may be paid out of earnings of the trust fund, and establishes what constitutes fraud or deceit in the pre-need industry. This is a good bill, a good consumer protection bill. I urge your aye vote.
Discussion. Senator Monroe, do you wish to close? The question I rise upon a third reading and final passage of House Bill 4117. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Girard? Haas? Johnson? Cruz? Bonas Anderson? Monroe? Morris? Nelson? Olson? Przanski? Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner-Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
The House Bill 4117, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 4068, relating to food banks and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Chuck Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I bring to us House Bill 4068. It would authorize a food bank to provide a portion of the reclaimed fish to a processing business as payment for processing. It also exempts these processed fish from some labeling requirements and allows processors to sell some of the fish it retains. I met Philip last year of the food bank, and I invited him to come up to Hood River because he was thinking about pears for the food bank. And I introduced him to some folks. We had about 500 acres of our valley get hit by a hailstorm, and that fruit would have normally just gone on the ground and rotted. But the food bank had enough funds in its piggy bank to be able to purchase, not purchase, but they paid for the harvesting to the growers, basically the labor costs and tractor and trucking in order to get that food out of the orchard and to the food bank. And down at the coast, they you know, people can't survive just on fruit alone. They need a little protein. And down at the coast, they got some great byproducts down there. They use bycatch when folks are fishing down there, and then the game and fish will bring these fish that weren't supposed to be caught and call the food bank down there. And, oh, if somebody from the coast, if I misspeak, would you let me know, because I'm a pear grower. I'm not authority on fish, but so if I misspeak, let me know. So they bring this fish in. They got one. It was explained to me they'll bring 8,000 pounds of fish, and they call the food bank and say, "Here's your fish. Come get it." And at times they don't have enough volunteers to process the fish, or they don't have the money to do that either. So what they worked out a deal with the processors and. This bill would allow the food bank to take the fish into the processing place. That processing place would cut the fish up, package it, and then be able to keep enough of it to cover their costs.
because they do a lot of this as donations down there, but when they get big orders like that, it just overwhelms the generosity of the fishing processing plants down there, and they can't handle it. But this is a great method for the food bank to get more protein into the needy folks of Oregon. I hope you all support this bill. Thanks.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Fred Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a couple of questions for the carrier.
Would the carrier yield to a question?
No.
Question,
no,
will,
yes,
question will yield to the carrier. Question will yield to a question.
This all deals with fish bycatch. The definition in the bill says commercially caught fish of a species that was not targeted for harvesting. We all know that we have wild fish concerns and with gill nets. Mm-hmm. Is that included in this? And if it's not, why not?
So could you repeat that one more time? Well, I understand the bycatch. But.
Okay, the bycatch by definition is commercially caught fish of a species that was not targeted for harvesting.
Right.
Obviously, they're not targeting wild fish.
Right.
Okay?
Obviously, yes.
So it does this include the bycatch of gill nets?
It is my understanding that it didn't, but I'm not the authority on that one, and I don't know if there's anybody in the room that would know that question. I don't know. Can't honestly tell you.
Okay, folks, this is a great cause. I mean, I to have that senator stand up and be against the food bank isn't exactly something that you do every day. This is about salmon harvest. It's disguised. It got promoted as being for halibut that was seized on the coast within the 3-mile limit. The major part of this is going to be salmon. It's going to be salmon. Some of it's going to be hold fish, which is egg-producing salmon. No problem. But if you're dealing with gill netters and this is going to be the catch is going to go directly to the processor and the processor is going to get a cut, and then and there's no minimums in here at all for the food bank, not one. So the food bank benefits, it'll get a small amount more food, but this could be a can of worms. And until I'm satisfied that this does not include the bycatch from gill netters, I'm an adamant no.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I rise in support of House Bill 4068. In, I believe it was 1979, I initiated Oregon Food Share. And I did so to create a network, which we have today, of food banks across this state. And I can still recall when we kicked off the program, we had tons and tons of potatoes that were trucked in by the Teamsters that was deposited here on the Capitol steps to be shared with communities around this state. And when I saw this about the fish, my good senator is correct. We need protein, and it's another way of sharing commodities. And so I rise in support, and I'm glad we've kept something that I started that today is probably the largest network of sharing commodities. And I didn't imagine it was going to be this big either. But good bill, do pass.
Further discussion of the measure? Senator Alan Olson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill.
To the bill.
I shared the same concerns that the good senator from the San Ym Valley concern was thinking about, and I asked the question in committee if, in fact, it covered any catch from gill netters, and I was referred to page 2, section 5, sub D, where it says, this subsection does not apply to any retention of a portion of or byproducts of reclaimed fish that is contrary to federal law or to federal or state agency restrictions or prohibitions regarding the disposition of reclaimed fish or the byproducts of reclaimed fish. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? All right, and Senator Fred Girard, you get to speak twice.
Oh, thank you. This is just a correction of fact. That clause that was just read, it is not illegal for gill netters to take wild fish. So that they're not exempted from that. They're exempted from the catch, and that catch is recorded. So that clause in there does not exempt gill netters.
Senator Chuck Thompson, do you wish to close?
No, Mr. President. That's all I have to say about that.
The question now arises upon a third reading, the final passage of House Bill 4068. Those in opinion bills shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder? Edwards? Farioli? George? Girard? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Prozanski? Rosenbaum? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? President Courtney?
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Bates, Girard, 27 aye votes.
House Bill 4068, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business, the Senate, according to SR 8.403, committee for list number 17 and 18 were distributed to the members February 20th. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and the status report. All right, under announcements, here we go. The deadline to post House measures for work session in Senate policy committees is tomorrow, Tuesday, February 21st. The deadline to hold work sessions on House measures in Senate policy committees is this Thursday, February 23rd. Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Senate Democrats. We will caucus immediately following floor session, so please come directly to the caucus room. You will have time to eat your lunch later.
I will now recognize Senator Ted Farioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans have no caucus today at noon. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the Health Policy Committee only has one bill, but we will meet for that bill at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you.
If there are no further announcements, and without objection, this Senate is now adjourned until tomorrow, Tuesday, at 11 a.m. on February 21st. The Senate is now adjourned.